It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that was designed with you in mind. It's a show that will help you move from where you are to where you want to be. And it's a show that I get to do every week with my two co-hosts, Niles and KJ. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey.
That's you can see the excitement, right? Right? I'm very excited because we've got a lot to discuss on the show today. We're going to finish up. Well, we're going to continue with our series on what is the kingdom of God and how that kingdom plays in our lives. And at the bottom, before the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Niles come and tell us all things that's happening in the world, man, world circumstances, real world topics. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk, have a round table discussion, and we're going to break down this kingdom and really what it means so it won't be a taboo for those who are listening and who are genuinely interested in doing this mandate that he gave us. Before we get to all of that goodness, let's pick up where we left off, not last week, but week before last. All right, let's get started. Now, when we talk about the kingdom of God, oftentimes it's almost a mystery and it's almost enshrouded with religion. And I don't really want you, our listeners, our viewers, thank you so very much, to get it confused, because it's a lot when you're thinking and talking about the original mandate of God's original plan for us, for his people. I want you to remember this, okay? The kingdom of God gives us rulership. It gives us management. It allows us to govern our circumstances, okay? That's the original intent. It has nothing to do with religion. And I'm very respectful when I say religion, because I do it at the bottom of the hour. But when you're thinking about the kingdom of God, I want you to think about the original intent. This is God's mandate for us, his invisible government here on earth. And that allows us to live that government, the invisible government, allows us to live out the mandate called the kingdom of heaven. You probably have heard people say, you know, I believe I can have a little piece of heaven on earth. And they're absolutely right, because within that invisible government are sets of principles that we use. Religiously, you'll get the Bible and you'll quote scriptures, and there's nothing wrong with that, but then you don't see anything happening. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself almost begging. And who wants to beg a creator that loves you so much that he calls you son and not servant? All right? So remember, the kingdom of God, as it relates to his original intent, gives you power over your circumstances. You, my friend, are a ruler, you're a manager, you're a governor. You have control over your circumstances. Simply put, it is God's way of saying, colonize the earth. Stay in contact with me so that you don't have the mindset of thinking that you have to figure things out. It's already laid out for us. It is. It's like mining for a Bitcoin. You know the Bitcoin exists, but you got to go out and get it. It's the lifestyle that we have, guys. Change your mind and everything else will follow. Now, I'm going to yield so my co-host can not give me their opinion, because in this particular kingdom, it doesn't matter, but they're going to give us a soliloquy of how that kingdom that we're talking about, that we're uncovering, that we're rediscovering, how it plays out in their lives. Take it away, guys.
Having power over your circumstances, over your life, over your situation, I think something that all of us can benefit from. I know we've talked about this many times before, but to sit back and, you know, pray for blessings or for things to go a certain way, you know, of course we should always pray, but then with that comes the activity. It comes with you being proactive. And I think when you understand that you have power, you also understand that God has ordered your steps. And in that, because you have power, you know, you will be able to bring about the outcomes that you know, you're looking for because of that power. It's not like I'm going to pray for it and I'm just sit on my behind, you know, because I'm this, you know, so-called God's child and so on. As some people say, Christians, as we've, you know, been talking about. But, you know, we get our power from God. And I think sometimes we forget, you know, the power that is in us, you know. So, you know, we walk around with a particular mindset of, oh, like this situation is bigger than me. You know, this circumstance is bigger than me. And that's when you start drowning, you know, but it's God that keeps you afloat. So, you know, knowing that you have that power, and it's not a bad thing. Like people make it seem like, because I've explained this to people before, you know, oh, you're saying that human beings have power over their situations. Well, that's not true. Mm-hmm. God is in control of all and so on. Okay. So in that case, you think of it as a hierarchy, right? As we talked about before, God is like that power source. Then his power is transferred to us, and then there's life. So we do have power, and it comes from God. Like, don't you sit there and think that you have absolutely no power, and, you know, that, you know, God, you know, is taking care of everything. He is taking care of everything all the time. But once again, you have to do your portion as well. So, you know, instead of sitting back and, you know, thinking that, you know, you don't have the power over this or that, just know that you do if you actually tap into that power that God put in you.
Amen. Wow. Wow. Niles. Whoa, Nelly. Okay. Sorry, KJ.
I mean, do I need to speak after that? I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. Wow. But like to piggyback up on like what Niles was saying, you know, I always look back at when God created the earth and how he created man. He created us his image. And if you look up the word image, you know, it's, we're pretty much, we're a form of a mirror of God. So it's kind of like we're offspring in that sense. So if I'm an offspring of God, so I have some form of power on this earth then. So you have to kind of change and rework your mind when you go back to that scripture. It's like, wait, so you're saying that you made me in your image, all right? So if I'm in your image, that means I have the attributes, I have the control, I have the the resources I need to walk on this earth and walk in expectation, walk in authority. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an egotistical, like, it's not like Bruce Almighty, you know, you know, when Morgan Freeman's like, all right, cool, you have my power for the day, go ahead and do whatever you want. No, it's more of like, okay, I understand the hierarchy, like Niall said, and I know that if whatever I pray for will come to pass, is you're continually believing. And with that belief, you're putting in that work. Yes, there are some things like, okay, how are you going to put in the work if, like, you're very sick, you know? Like, how is that going to work? But that prayer and fasting and meditation, all that has to be utilized during those times. Mm-hmm. Doing the work isn't always a physical thing. It can be a spiritual component as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Man. I get chill bumps. Go ahead, Niles.
Just in regards to what KJ said about believe, we hear the word, you know, believe so much, especially when it comes to God. But I think belief is like the first step for me. I think once you believe enough and once you know that God is going to arrive each and every time, regardless of the circumstance, you may not know when he's going to come and you may not know how he's going to arrive or how he's going to implement, you know, his plan and his course of action. But in that, you start knowing, like, belief is the first. It gets to the point where you know that God has never left me. He's never, you know, he's never led me to the water and I wasn't able to drink and so on. So at this point, I know that God is going to come through. Not believe, I know, because it's happened every time. And we are, you know, of a God who's, you know, extremely consistent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Man, I'm about to jump out of my seat right now.
And then there's, you know.
I mean, I want to put something in perspective with that, because, like, if you really think about it, look at people. Let's take a look and put, like, a magnifying glass on people who walk in that expectation, like, even if they don't believe in God, because, like, I find this super interesting. They have enough faith in their abilities, in their work ethic, in their dream or whatever. Like, okay, I'm going to get this done. It may not happen automatically.
Yeah.
You know? But it will happen. You see, we need to, like, kind of reset our mind in the terms of seeing God as a genie. I'm going to pray for something. It's going to happen within a year. No, it may happen in the next 20 years. Because there are still steps, real life steps. There are real life struggles that happen. But with that belief, you got to keep pushing. Keep pushing and keep pounding the pavement as you go ahead and achieve whatever you are praying for, or your dreams and so on.
Absolutely. You mentioned something at the start of the dialogue, image. Image, in that sense of the word, taking out of the Hebrew sense, is likeness. And when he said, create, let us create man, let us, Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us create man in our image, in our image and likeness. That likeness is the functionality. So you not only not physically look like him, because remember, God is spirit, not a spirit. He is spirit, and so are you. And you are encased in this human body to carry out the mandate. You're not servant, you're son. So you have a sonship, and your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when you said how the world, even if you don't believe in him, you can still use the principles. See, you'll never appreciate what you won't appropriate. You'll never receive with joy that which you've been believing for. You'll never do it. You'll never receive it if you don't receive it with joy first. So that's receiving it in the spirit. It's a lifestyle. It's not a name it and claim it. It's not, well, you know, I'm just going to manifest. I think I was on TikTok. One of my lovely pastimes that KJ has introduced me to. And I made a video, guys. You got to get on there and check it out. But I was on there and I hear this little girl say, I am just going to teach you how to physically manifest. And when I listened to what she said, it was true, because it's a principle. But the difference between what she's saying and how we live, us that are citizens of the kingdom, is that we do it in him. So everything we do, we have to dominate. We do, because that is what we do. We dominate, we rule, we govern, we manage, we dominate in our areas of gifting. So again, it's not a name it and claim it. And we want to be careful with that when we're telling people, you know, these are principles that we live by. We're not naming and claiming anything. We're putting in that work. Yeah. But the first thing we're doing is receiving it by faith. And then we do the work. Show me your faith, I'll show you my works. But if you show me your faith with works, wow.
Wow. Yeah. The difference between speaking it into existence, working it into existence.
Man, come on.
even speaking, the concept and everything starts in your mind either way, whether you speak it or not. Then from out, you know, at that point, then as you mentioned recently, you start to produce and you start to multiply and be fruitful and so on.
Yeah, Absolutely. What were you about to say, KJ?
Sorry, KJ.
No worries. But I was just going to say one thing that always fascinates me is children in the sense of like their mind and how they're able to believe anything, you know, before the world begins to dump all the garbage. All right. But, you know, it's like we kind of have to have that childlike faith in terms of God and even with ourselves, you know, because we can say like, oh, yeah, I'm created in God's likeness. But what if you don't believe in yourself? You know,
true.
Because that's a struggle. That's an honest struggle. Like, oh, I believe in God, but I don't believe in me. So, like, you have to, it's kind of like a double-edged sword
right?
with that. Because like, how are you gonna say you're gonna believe in God, but you don't believe in yourself? But God created you in His image, His likeness, His resemblance. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something off. So, you know, that's why when the Bible teaches about love, love God, love yourself, then love others. Because that loving yourself is so essential. It will unlock many doors. They're like, okay, I'm gonna end it here, then we can just move on to like the next one. I'm gonna end it with this. You know, I find it interesting. Whenever you're alone and you're doing the work, it's addicting because you are now investing into yourself. And it is such, like, you can shut everybody off and be like, no, I'm working on me. I'm working, I'm refining everything. That is a beautiful thing to do because if you love yourself, nothing can stop you.
Wow.
That's true.
Let the church say amen. Man, we're going to get into this, man, at the bottom of the hour, because there's so much more to what you guys are saying. And I appreciate so very much that you really, really peeling back those layers and digging deep, because I know that there's some people that are watching that are just kind of in a juxtaposed between two opinions. I see what I see. I hear what you're saying, but how do I get there? And that's what this show is about, guys. It's not about saying, hey, I got it and you don't. It's about, listen, let me tell you what I had to go back and rediscover. And when you rediscover it and you get it, you're like, hey, man, you'll leave everything that you know. And I did. I left everything that I knew to come out here to just put that thing to the test. So we'll talk about that at the bottom of the hour. But I want to thank our sponsor, Cadkin of Publishing. Cadkin of Publishing, if you have a book that you have been birthing and you're wondering, can I really do this? We had a wonderful young lady to submit her manuscript to us, and we're excited to get her to where she needs to be in the marketplace, and you too can have that same kind of excitement. It's not just you doing this by yourself. It's a whole team getting behind you, bringing your body of work to life. That's Cat Kenna Publishing, and take advantage of what they're offering. The number to reach our copy editor is 470-534-2216. The number again is 470-534-2216. That's Bella. Bella is the copy editor over there, and you can reach her also by email at bellad@cadkennapublishing.com. That's Bella D for doll @cadkennapublishing.com. And don't forget, Mondays at 7:30-ish, your girl is back. Facebook Live, everything Talk to Tanji. Just 60 minutes to get your day started, guys. I don't want to belabor you, but I do want to remind you of who you are and that you are bigger than your circumstances. That's Mondays, 7:30-ish. On Facebook Live, Talk to Tanji. Now, Niles is going to take it away with worldviews and news that can help people.
Okay. All right. It's time for world news, views, global news, what's going on around the world. First off, we have the NBA recently, and I'm sure this has always been going on. There's been certain instances where NBA fans are boldly disrespecting the players, spitting on them, you know, throwing water bottles on them and kind of treating them like they are animals at a zoo. That needs to stop. We should always have respect for one another. We are all brothers and sisters. And, you know, you think about it, like those NBA players at an elite level, and folks actually know, you know, what they go through and what they experience on a daily basis. And like sometimes I guess we look at them as just a source of entertainment, but these are beings, you know, with souls. Like these are people. And what would possess you to ever, you know, throw a water bottle at someone or spit at someone who hasn't done anything to you, especially on a personal level? So, you know, the behavior and the overall conduct of some of these fans, man, like we just kind of have to be in control of ourselves, be respectful, be responsible, and just remember that, you know, there's more to this world than just you. However you're feeling or however you're feeling away, deal with that and deal with your heart on its own, but do not project that onto anyone else.
Yeah, I want to add something. I want to add something about that. You know, this isn't new, you know, with like NBA fans or even fans in general disrespecting players, you know, because now we have it on film, you know. And now we're like, it's like we got out of quarantine. Now everybody's coming back in the stands. People don't know how to act. You know, of course, there's a lot of division. There's a lot of anger in the country. You know, a lot of players like standing up for Black Lives Matter. That, so I can understand that. But this stuff isn't new. I remember Shaq and Charles Barkley talking about it. It's like, hey, there's no way to regulate this unless you're going to like put in a fine or some sort. But this happens. You know, it's like now it's coming to light. It's like, yeah. It happens. Don't act surprised, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, one thing you have to put in perspective, if you see like an NBA player on the street, I bet you won't do that.
Right.
I bet you won't do that. You know, Charles Barkley said like, okay, cool. You guys want to like throw stuff at us? Come down the center court and like, let's brawl it out. Like that was something that Charles thought was like, okay, this is how you solve it. No, but this is not new. You know, control yourself, and you know, it's decency and respect.
For sure. Basic decency and respect. You're not asking too much of people. Next we have
100% real milk.
Sorry. Let me turn that down. Okay. So I think it was the last week of May, they released a video of the San Jose shooting. And basically it shows the tense moments and what led up to, you know, the interaction and I guess overall incident. So, you know, this last year we've seen a lot of just different, you know, scenarios, you know, regarding, you know, racism and, you know, discrimination and taking one's lives, police brutality and so on. So, you know, this kind of just, you know, adds more fuel to the fire. And, you know, as KJ said earlier with the NBA, you know, now we're able to see this on camera. And, you know, we're starting to see some progress and some change, you know, with George Floyd and that, you know, outcome, although he's asking for a retrial. But, you know, we just encourage people, Tunji, me, KJ, just to, you know, remember to respect and love one another. Try to understand one another, embrace one another. You know, people are always going through certain things and, you know, a gun isn't always the answer. And taking someone's life and that I don't think that should be in our power, you know, to take life, especially, you know, when life comes from the creator. Of course, you know, we are that channel to bring life on this earth. But, you know, once a life is gone, you can't get it back, you know. You know, with these just incidents that have been occurring, you know, from since the beginning of time to now, man, I just think once again, this is just another example of us just needing to work on our hearts and truly connect and tap in with God, you know. And then through that, I think we'll find true love for one another, regardless of the differences that, you know, we all have, whether it's, you know, height, race, whatever it is, man, we can all coexist and love one another. I'm sure there's a way.
You better believe it. Can I kind of add this? I was at a vigil a couple of years ago in Ventura County when the, I think it was a club that was shot up, college kids would go and have just kind of a release on Wednesday nights, and a guy comes in and he just starts to shoot up the place, and I happened to be out there and just kind of didn't know anyone, but just wanted them to let them know that, hey, we're human and we're all in this together. And I remember the reporter coming up to me and asking, you know, your name, do you mind saying something? I said, absolutely. He says, what do you think if you had seen that gunman standing aloof, would you have been the person to go and say hello to them? And I said, yeah, I'm that girl. I'm the one. I would have gone, not with a gun in hand, of course, but I would have been that one. If you see something or you see someone who looks a little bit off, why not engage in a conversation? Maybe they were on the scene just to see for that one last time before they made that decision that they were going to take somebody's lives and their own. So let's be mindful that, you know, not everybody is a bad seed. And sometimes we can help folk with just with a smile. Maybe it'll start with a smile. Maybe it'll start with a gesture of, hey, let me get that coffee for you. Or not even tell them that you're going to buy the coffee. Just buy it. Tell the barista, hey, I'll pay for the person behind me. And let's just pass it on, you know? There's been over 200 mass shootings since January 1. Come on. It's like every day we turn on the television and someone has lost their lives. So what can we do? You know, we're the answer to a problem, right?
Yeah. And the fact that that has become normal to the point where either we just listen or share it or accept what it is, man, like that just shows that there's some progress here, you know, because that shouldn't be, you know, our reaction to, you know, something as serious like that, as that, you know. Yeah. So I guess also next we have a container ship caught fire 13 days ago off of the Sri Lankan coast. And it pretty much caused one of, as they're saying, one of the worst ecological disasters in the country's history. You know, so they've been trying to clean that up and you know, stop the that situation from, you know, getting worse. And then, you know, I also read that it also could potentially, you know, create other issues and disasters, you know, such as oil spills and so on. And, you know, there's also a connection to global warming. Which is real, and it's been real. It's not something that we can continue to put away or act as if it doesn't exist. We experience it when we walk outside all day, every day in California and just like different places, you know, around the world. And it's something that we become used to as well. Like, I get it. Like, you may think that it's okay, but it's not, you know, and we have all kinds of signs all around us. So some of the simplest things can help, you know, reduce global warming, you know, such as pollution and throwing your trash out and recycling and just like, you know, the simple things that, you know, we just kind of gloss over each and every day.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely, man. Thank you for that. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. And next up.
I want to thank everyone that took the time. Seriously, I've had a little bit over 5,000 views since the book has been released, and I am so grateful to God for you guys taking the time to, you know, check it out. I did have one lady, and I've been kind of teaching and just doing a little some things off camera, and she said to me, Dr. Tanji, I thought I knew who I was. When I read your book, she said, you just kind of confused me. I'm like, yes, it's working. But that was not the intent. The intent was to honestly make you think, kind of slow down, get back into that rightful place that you're supposed to be in, live the life that you're supposed to live. And I found through my journaling that it kind of centers me and helps me make some decisions so that I'm not, you know, you make a decision one time, but you live with the consequences for life.
Sure.
So you always want to make the right decision so that your consequences are buffeted. So thank you again for checking the book out, Amazon.com. It's Journaling with Dr. Tanji, Deciding to Move Forward. And I'm available, guys, if you need some assistance with rediscovering who you are. Check out the website, www.drtanjishow.com. You guys have done an amazing job. It was Niles that introduced the photographer, and KJ kind of did what he does schematically, and we had a wonderful time, and the website is ready now, and it's I'm impressed. I really am. So thank you so very much for that. And don't forget, I'm your friend on Talk to Tanji on Mondays at 7:30-ish on Facebook Live. I'm there 60 seconds of your time. And YouTube, we got a wonderful array of past shows on our YouTube channel at Dr. Tanji Show. And if I'm not mistaken, this week at 6 p.m. Friday, it's going to be Danielle Winningham, right? So want to join us for the past show on Friday, 6 p.m. on YouTube. And then I want to thank Katina once again for all that they've done. We're coming to the close of their sponsorship, but they have been absolutely wonderful. It's a publishing company, boutique in nature. But if you've got a dream, a manuscript, a book that needs to get out, they are the persons to call. Give them a call at 470-534-2216 or info@cadkennapublishing.com. And then the copy editor is Bella D@cadkennapublishing.com. Now, let's have some fun. Woo, boys, we have been talking, guys, we've been talking about this kingdom. And in 2009, I think I gave the soliloquy. I'm sitting in New Birth in Atlanta, Georgia, and in walks my teacher. And I had no idea he was going to be my teacher. And he's telling me about this kingdom. And I'm thinking, thank you so very much. But I just want Jesus. I just want to raise my hands. I just want to cry when I sing, and I want to run around the church, and I want to beg him. And then Tuesday, I want to figure out how I'm going to live the rest of my life, because Wednesday's going to come and I'm going to get another shot in the arm. And then Saturday and Sunday will come. And it was a cycle that caused me so much brokenness. So many lies, just webs of lies, because someone would say, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, yes, I'm blessed, too blessed to be stressed.
Hey.
But I had no idea that my light bill was about to be due. And it was, I'd lost at that time about 4 cars to repossession. I'd lost my dream home that I had built in 2005. 3 years later, I lost it. And I'm not blaming him for that, that monies that were allocated to this, and someone said, you don't lay it on the altar and say, hey, I expect a harvest, that you're not going to get your bills met. How about that? So let's have this discussion. And let's be open, honest, and sincere like we always do. And again, for those who are listening, it's not, please hear me, please hear my heart. It's not to belittle you. It's not to make you think that we got it and you don't. It's to get back to the original intent. We live our lives by a set of principles, and we have keys that unlock doors. And we're walking in things that we probably didn't think that I could walk in. I had no idea that I could literally do some of the things that I'm doing. And it's not about me thinking positive. Yes, that helped, but it's about me going through that book that has 66 chapters in it, books. And I mined for it as if I was mining for a Bitcoin. So I'll yield. And you guys, let's talk.
All right.
All right.
We've been talking about the kingdom and, you know, what the kingdom is, what it entails, and, you know, how we found the kingdom and how the kingdom has kind of changed our lives, our mindsets, and made our lives, you know, what it is today. And just introducing the kingdom to people, because a lot of folks aren't, you know, familiar with the kingdom. I know I wasn't when I was, you know, in the church. And just truly, as you mentioned, and as you know what it is, it's truly having rulership and government over your life. And that's something that you're not used to hearing. At least I wasn't used to hearing. So I think it's definitely something that should be introduced in all churches to all people and so on, because once again, we come from a powerful God. Therefore, we have power, and it would behoove us to live the life that God has designed for us. You know, it would behoove us to use that gift, that thing that God put in us to enhance this world, to inspire, to love, to help, you know, teach people and reach people through their experiences and their paths and so on. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, when we talk about this kingdom, we don't talk about just having power for the sake of having power, you know, telling this person what to do and that person what to do. It's truly having power over our situations so then we can be a light to others and teaching them that they can have power over their lives and so on. And then it becomes a chain reaction.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's all about. Like being a walking testament of God's power, of God's rulership. And once again, don't take, you know, the idea of ruling as, oh, man just wants to control everything and have, you know, manipulate this and that. No, once again, this rulership comes from God. And, you know, there's God that owns the world, but we're also living in this world. So therefore, we have power in this domain as well. You know, so operate from that perspective. It's not about having power just to say you're a king or whatever. It's having power because you come from the king, you know,
yeah.
Not an earthly. You know, I'm not talking about king, queen, medieval times. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ultimate king, the ultimate conqueror, and that is God. So when you hear you being able to have rulership and you know, government over your life, just know that that's power that people discover it through God. It's not man-made. It's not based on, you know, your own selfish intent and your own needs and agenda. This is the agenda given to you by God.
Wow. How weighty is that, right? Come on, KJ. I see you, man.
Hey, you know, it's like, I know for me, you know, I talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago. Like, I've been success driven, I would say most of my life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think me and my friend Curtis, we were having a conversation of like, how come we don't see Christians living it like living a life of like
abundance.
Success, yeah. abundance. That's the word. That's the word. Yeah. 'Cause success is like, it's finicky. And I began to Google like, okay, let's look up the most successful people in the world. Mm-hmm. Not all of them subscribe to a God or even the God that when you talk about Christianity is like, everything will be taken care of. Like, trust me, like it's going to be good. Just give it to God. Everything will be good. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then it becomes a more of a sit and wait game.
That's what I was about to say. Like what?
Yep.
Then what? And so I'm like, okay, how are these people living their life? Because yes, I know money, success is like, that's not everything, but it helps. It's like the cake is good, but I mean, icing is good. Like too much icing is not good for you, but it helps. You know, right. It tastes like it's like let's stop kidding ourselves. You know, icing does it's the icing on the cake. It's not the cake itself. So
absolutely.
I'm sitting on like on my laptop, like looking up different people. I'm like, okay, what are they doing differently?
Yeah,
what is their routine? And they believe in themselves. They work on themselves.
Yeah,
they have visions. They have dreams. I'm not saying people who Christians do not have dreams. I'm not trying to bash anybody.
For sure.
I think there is a wait and see game when it comes down to when you pray. It's like, okay, God's going to work it out. Yes, He's going to work it out, but you need to move as well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because you can say, I want to be rich and famous. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say this. I'm going to say by 2030, I'm going to have $1 million.
Yep.
So there are two people, the person who sits and the person who puts in the work.
Yeah.
What can you save so you can meet that $1 million goal by 2030?
Mm-hmm.
And the other person continues living his life waiting on somebody else.
Yeah.
And that like, it makes you think, what have you been waiting for? But the ball was in your court.
Yeah.
The entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And that just blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. You said a lot in that. You do know.
I said a lot. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
No, that's good, though. That's really good, because you're giving people something to honestly chew on, to mull on, and the Bible says to meditate on, right? The difference between someone who is uberly successful and someone who is Christ-like and who's maybe stuck in dogmatism. And again, I'm being very sensitive here, because I have a lot of people that I admire, that wear the cloth and I pray with and I fast with. The Bible is a book of laws, all right? And those people that are uberly successful, they take that law and they work it. You said it, absolutely. The difference, the Christ-like, if you are praying and then you wait, that wait is not a physical wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wait in your spirit that says, I know that what I've prayed for, according to your will for my life, that's that soulish man. See, you're always in battle, the soul, the body, the spirit. They're always battling, but you want that spirit to always rise up, right? So you're living from the perspective of, everything I need is already done.
Yeah.
He would not send me to the earth without equipping me with everything that I need. Okay, so let's get that. That's done. The soul, the will, the mind, the will, the mind, and the emotions. Get your emotions in check. Get your will in check. Your will has to, it's like faith. It has to have an object. You can't have faith in your outcome. You have faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to you, this works. And then somewhere along the way, I don't know how he does it. It's not abracadabra. It's not magic. But your will begins to bend. And you begin to see from the lenses of, you know what, whatever you want from me is what I want. And that's a son. That's what sons do. And when you're a spirit, when you are spirit, you operate as spirit, there's no male and female.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said, you're now son, you're no longer servant, you're a son. But the adoption is through Christ. So I got this little moniker that I say, look at my beautiful mahogany door.
Mm-hmm.
I had the wood flown in from Brazil, and the fixtures on this door. Oh my God, they're 24 karat gold. They're so beautiful. You like the door, right? But I never ask you, come on in, man.
Yeah.
So if you were to open the door, he said, I'm the door. I'm the way. Right? I'm the way. But when you go through that door, you discover rooms. You discover opportunities. You discover, oh my God, relationships. You discover freedom. And you're like, whoa, Nelly, you mean to tell me I had to wait till I was 49 years old to live like this? My bank account may not have changed, but guess what changed? My mind.
Yeah,
now I'm traveling. My mind changed. So now I'm traveling in nations that I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he was like, Dr. Tanji, we're so excited about you coming. I said, oh, you are? So we're headed again across the water. And that's not boasting or bragging, bruh. It's in him that I move and I live and I have my being. But I'm just crazy enough to believe that everything that I'm supposed to do, I got it. I didn't just make this stuff up. I am so excited about my life. I told Miles 3 weeks ago that I have finally found something that I'm willing to die for.
Yeah.
And I meant that. I don't love my life so much that if I lose it, because to lose is to gain.
Yeah.
Somebody said, you're crazy. I said, I know, right? I had to lose my mind, man. My mind had me encapsulated in looking at what I saw, thinking that this is as good as it would get. I'm in a hotel room now, right, in Nevada. Once upon a time, I didn't have any other choice but to live out of a hotel room. Now I have a choice that I can stay here if I want to, not because I have to. Until I see what I believe that he has for me, I'm going to continue doing the work. And that work is in me. It's working on me. It's making sure that I'm perfect. You ain't perfect. Oh, yes, I am. Because everything I say is yes and no. That's perfection. He didn't need you to be without flaw. Then he was a murderer, if that's the case.
Yeah.
But he wants you to be mature, bruh. Just like a yes be yes and your no be no. Have temperance, self-control. And if it requires some long suffering, be okay with the long suffering. I got everything in the storage. Right now, we pay about $800 on the storage. And we're in a little place, but I'm at peace. Because I know this, I'm just passing through to get to the destination. You know? Anyway.
You know, one thing I wanted to say, you know, I would say Devon Franklin, how he started in the entertainment industry. You know, he was told that the industry is the devil's playground, you know, and you said something that said that you said, you just like, I'm just, I have something I believe in, you know, and one thing that Devon, he said, so you're saying God stops at the gate of Hollywood. So he doesn't like bypass that. all you're looking for is somebody who's just crazy enough to believe. And you believe like, no. He does not stop here, because if he does stop here, then there's somebody bigger than God.
Wow.
You get put that in perspective.
I love that guy.
We're just looking for something that we're crazy enough to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we need to think of God as someone bigger instead of thinking so small. Like, oh, you can't do that. Yes, you can. Yeah. You wanna know why? Because we're made in his image.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
So.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to kind of explain what you said, Tanji. You said to lose it is to gain. I just want to explain that to people. Like, if you think about it just on a basic level, whenever you lose something, that means there's a void. That means there's an empty space. So automatically, something will have to fill that space. It's up to us to fill that space with something that's good. That's of substance, you know, something that will, you know, produce fruit, you know. So I know, like, when I was listening to that, like, wow, like, do people actually think about that? To lose is to gain. Like, most people would be like, nah, to lose is to lose. But now, you know, there's a space, there's a void. It's up to us on what to fill that void with. So naturally, you can gain, but it's up to you.
Wow.
You know?
Man, I love this, man. I love this show. Dadgummit, where did the time go, bro? You just want more, right? You can have more. Just stay engaged with us. All Things Dr. Tanji Show on all platforms. We love to hear your comments, your suggestions. Don't forget to check out the website, www.drtanjishow.com. Follow these guys, man. I'm sorry. Engage with these gentlemen here. We don't want followers. We want leaders, because all of us are leaders. Some have the spirit of leadership and some have the leadership spirit. That's our show. Thank you. LA Talk Radio for all that you do. We're excited because we got a new studio and we'll be broadcasting very soon from that studio. Thank you guys so very much for taking time out of your busy schedule for making us part of your life. And until next time, please don't forget to hang out with me on Mondays. I promise I'll show up at 7:30. Facebook Live, Talk to Tanji. And until then, thank you. God bless you. And don't forget, you're bigger than you think you really are. You really, really are. And there's absolutely nothing that's in your life right now that you don't have control over. Change your mind and the rest will follow. Mm-hmm. Until next time. Bye.